You know, success is not just about once. To be successful, you need to be tenacious. You need to be persistent. You need to be consistent. So here on Iron Careers, we don't just have one success story. We have two, sometimes more. But tonight we have two. And the second big success story we're talking about tonight is Mr. Kulwant Singh. He's a chief executive officer and managing director of Care for Llama Group. He is an influencer and impact player. He started influencing the show before he even came on. He's the first, I think he's the first actual guest I've had in about 300 who's actually done that. But before we get to him, let's hear a little bit about his background.
Kulwant Singh is a man wearing many hats. Some call him the King of Tourism as he heads the Care for Llama Group as the CEO and Managing Director. Kulwant worked to create this hospitality and tourism company with a humble beginning of few staff to a workforce of nearly 500 employees. Llama Tours has made its foray into the farthest corners of the world, from Europe to Russia, China, India and the Philippines and within the GCC, Oman, Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. It is often received as a desert safari company, but in fact, besides its holiday packages, it also organizes conventions and events, safaris, two exciting holiday stays. In 2014, Llama Group concluded the strategic merger with Carfair Group, a car rental company, and created a combined company worth over 365 million dirhams. Kulwant Singh is also a member of several other organizations. As the past Secretary General of the Indian Business and Professional Council, he contributed his knowledge, skills and experience in helping build stronger business relationships among members of the Indian business community. He also helped to promote and develop economic and cultural links between India and the UAE. He has been a coordinator at the Department of Tourism and Commerce Marketing, Government of Dubai for India. He has also been recently invited on the Abu Dhabi Tourism Authority Industry Development Committee as a member. Kulwant was the recipient of several awards. Among them, in 2013, he was named as one of the top 100 Indian leaders in the UAE by Forbes Middle East magazine. Also in 2013, Llama Tours was named top SME in Dubai by Dubai SME.
Well, that's a pretty impressive bio. Welcome to Eye on Careers, Kulwant.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I think you're working late. You've still got the suit on here.
Well, yes, I think I was coming for this interview, and then before this, I had to go to one of the functions, and right from the function, I'm here. But it's a little late in the night on a Thursday evening, but thank you very much for having me.
Well, no, thank you, and thanks again for coming. I'm sure you cut your event short to be here, so it's always a pleasure. I love hearing stories of people who really started from scratch. So you started Llama Tours. That was your idea?
Yes.
Is that like, was it from the animal llama?
No, it had nothing to do with any animal.
It didn't.
I think I discovered the right meaning of llama only after 10 years.
You didn't know what a llama was when you started Llama Tours?
Not really.
Wow.
No, when we started it, because we were looking out for a name which could be very catchy. And this was way back in 1997. We were wanting to start a tourism company. And we're thinking of a very catchy name. And we were thinking that what could be the shortest. And we came across with this double L-A-M-A, which is an animal. And we thought that let's remove one L and keep it more shorter and have it just L-A-M-A. 10 years later, when people really started asking us, is this your surname or is this something to do with your hometown or is this something to do with Nepal, because the llamas, the Dalai Lamas are there. So we figured out that we need to really have a meaning, and then that's when we came across, and we sat across with our marketing team, came up with a concept that llama should be something that should be related to the hospitality, and we figured out that love all meet all would be the most ideal fit for
love
our kind.
Love all me what?
Love all meet all.
Love all meet all.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like a hippie thing almost. So that's cool. But, you know, I guess the main thing was, were you working before you started? Did you have another job and you quit it in a heat of passion? Or how did it actually take the jump off to be an entrepreneur?
I was only between 17 and 18 years of age. And my parents migrated to the United States from here. This was immediately after the Gulf War, which was in 1991. I was still studying at a school, and I soon realized that My father could not sponsor me, and I had to look out for a job to get a visa, to get a permit, or to stay in this country. And as soon as I finished my 12th standard, I landed up in a tourism company, asking them that if I could get a visa from them to stay here. And that's how I got into this business. I mean, I never worked before that. I was only 18 when I actually got into a tourism company.
So you joined the tourism business by chance?
Yes. I think that was a necessity, or maybe you could call it by default. And I landed up in this tourism company looking for a visa for myself to stay in this country. And 6 months or 7 months down the line, when they did not pay me and they were using my services.
7 months you went without getting paid?
Yes.
What were you eating?
Well, I was surviving on maybe a falafel sandwich. You know, I was a vegetarian those days. I've turned non-veg these days.
Okay.
But during those times, it was very tough. And I was literally sharing the meal with my brother. And
you shared a falafel once a day with your brother?
Yeah, those were
crazy.
Tough days. Yeah. So
where are you living? Did you have a place to stay?
Well, we were living in a bachelor accommodation in Bur Dubai, and this is among four or five people in a room. So
in one room?
Yeah, so we were sharing one bed, me and my brother, both of us.
You shared a bed with you and your brother?
Yeah, sometimes he used to sleep and sometimes I mean, I used to be laid out in the desert with the tour and the tourists around. Did a lot of work in those 5-6 months, and where I couldn't even actually focus.
That's tough. You really are like a real rags to riches story. That's amazing.
Oh, I think it was, I don't know why I call it default or whether I call it an opportunity. When I look at the flashback today, I think it has been a great opportunity. And I saw that whatever I could do in 8 to 10 years, whatever little bit of that I could establish the company, my classmates were still doing their BBAs and MBAs and were really trying to figure out what they wanted to do in life. And I think by then I already had a hotel owned in Dubai.
So, oh my God. So you didn't go to university?
No, I did not, unfortunately. But I did get into business correspondence with one of the universities in the Knowledge Village. So I tried to do that, but I did for about 2 years. I couldn't complete it the third year because I got so busy with my company.
Right. So when you if anybody's out there and they're living, you know, five guys in one bedroom apartment or studio apartment, and you're thinking, you know, this is never going to end. You hear the story here. It doesn't matter what education you have, what family you come from. You know, if you have the desire to make it, you'll do it.
Absolutely. I think I strongly believe in that. And I think it's a very, very emotional, maybe a sentimental message. But I think it definitely carries a lot of weight, because whenever there is a struggle time like this, you promise to yourself, you promise to your God, you promise to your family, you promise to your friends a lot of things that later on, maybe in life, you don't actually do it, or maybe you forget and tend to get busy in your work. But every promise that you make during that time, during that hard time, definitely reminds you of what your state was, of what situation or what conditions you were in.
So, you know, we have people who are listening. Some of them are in labor camps because they have access to radio. And my good friend Sam Dupe is out there as well, who's also striving and a budding entrepreneur at heart who's going through a tough time, more challenging time. So I think this is a really inspirational story. But when you're in those situations, you don't think it's ever going to end. I mean, the great philosopher said, you know, to us, reality is to feel. So your emotional state is your reality. Sometimes you feel it's permanent and it won't end, but it does.
Yeah, because each day looks very long than it actually is. Every time you think that maybe the night that is going to pass on this evening or may not come back again, but then again next day you have a struggle day. So every day gets longer and longer, and you actually start feeling that, when is this going to end, or is there a way out, or there can be some kind of a charisma or something that can really happen, a magic, that things can start actually getting better. You start believing in God more, actually you start seeing, I mean, you start preaching, you start listening to your soul, you start believing in things, you get this positivity, but at the same time, because of so much of struggle and so much of hard things that are happening in your life, you even tend to get away from positivity. You try to get away from real things and thinking that maybe something can really work out. I mean, it gets hard. Yeah, it gets hard at times.
What was your darkest moment where you were like, I just want to kill myself. I can't pull through this. Was there?
Well, no, I don't think.
I hope it wasn't this morning. I had that once. I had one guy. I said, when do you feel like quitting? And he was like, this morning.
Well, luckily, I didn't have that kind of situation in my life, and I think it was a struggle days, and we got over it. And
so even when you were in there, Doc, you knew that you were going to pull through. I mean, deep down inside, did you feel like you had a deeper purpose? That, you know, what was it that actually pulled you through?
I think there was something that was telling me within me that I could perform, and I think I could do better. And things are going to get better for me. They're going to be better days. But it was just the time, and maybe I was looking out for a right platform, maybe an opportunity that could actually let me do things the way I would want to do. Maybe give me a chance to do things that I think are right in my life. So,
to do things that are right in your life, what do you mean by that?
Well, to allow me to do the business the way I would like to perform. And because the place that I was working for these 6-7 months actually taught me a lot of things. Maybe it actually taught me more than that I could study in 3 years in a bachelor's degree, or even 5 years in an MBA. Because I could see that there were certain things were not going in the right direction, or were not going in the right way. And I thought if I applied the wrong to good, the wrong to the right, things can actually work out better for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Kulwant Singh, a man who has risen up from sharing a single room with 5 people, almost hotbedding, I guess, you and your brother, to becoming one of the most successful CEOs in the country. We're going to be hearing more of his insights, making it to the top in just a minute, so stay with us.
Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. This is a very special show. I have 2 rags to riches stories that we've gone through. We're halfway through the show. We started the show with Kelly Lundberg. She is the founder of Style Me Divine. She was an Emirates Airline stewardess who quit her job and was the first professional stylist in Dubai. And she gets paid to go shopping with people, and she runs her business doing what she loves. You know, she didn't go to university. She didn't have come from some huge rich family or have some, you know, huge break. She built her success on the sweat of her own brow. And it's an amazing story. So you can go to our website and pick up the podcast at DubaiEye1038.com / Eye on Careers and listen to the podcast. And our second guest, a man who was sharing a room with 5 people in Dera, and his first job they got when he was 18 here because he needed a visa to stay in the country. You can fill in the word for however you want to call them, didn't pay him for 7 months. And he shared a falafel for lunch. Him and his brother shared a falafel sandwich for a long time. You know, this is a really tough beginning, humble beginnings, as they say. He's risen up to become the chief executive officer and managing director of Carrefour Lama Group, which is a multi in excess of $100 million business. $100 million U.S. dollars that we're talking about, plus. He's giving me a look like, you know, I don't think he wants to talk about numbers too much, but I just want to quantify that this is a big success story. His name's Kulwant Singh. Kulwant, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Those looks could kill that. You don't want to talk about how much, we're not allowed to talk about how much the business is worth, or...
No, I think it's absolutely all right. It's all there in the opens, and it's in the newspaper, so absolutely.
365 million dirhams, or?
Yeah.
So how much of that is yours? Like, how much are you worth?
Well, I've got... We're two partners, so I think.
Oh, yeah, my God. Yeah, all right. Okay, that's why you're smiling. You've just been smiling since you walked in, you know, so you're good. You're not sharing falafel sandwiches anymore.
You got a nice, colorful studio here, so I think that's all the more reason.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the studio call. But no, that's amazing. It must feel great. You know what I find for people who come from, you know, kind of have a dark beginning, they always give back. You know, they always have that commitment because they know what it's like, you know, not to be hungry and be on the job or not being able to sleep. So I imagine you must be involved in a lot of community service.
Yes, I just finished a tenure. I was the Secretary General for the Indian Business and Professional Council, which is one of the largest business and professional councils in the country. I've got another tenure. I've got my elections, our elections on Saturday. So wow. I'm contesting again, and hopefully I will be getting some position. The elections are on Saturday for the Indian Business Council. And I hope a lot of them are going to vote for me because in the past tenure, I've done extremely well bringing India and UAE together and doing a lot of interactions for the Indian businesses, which needs a lot of assistance from the local departments in the country. So I have set up a lot of meetings for them with the department heads and the director generals of various government departments in Dubai so that they could get an easy access into the departments and get their businesses improving. Beside that, we've built a community Gurdwara, which is a temple, Sikh temple in Jebel Ali, which costed us about 70 million dirhams.
Wow.
And it is one of the most finest Gurdwaras in the world.
In the world? In Jebel Ali?
Yes, it's in Jebel Ali next to the churches.
Is it the biggest? Or
it is not the biggest, but it is run like a professional, like a hotel, which has housekeeping and it has a kitchen and it has some of the finest and best carpets and designs and meditation rooms.
If you're Sikh, when you get food at the temple.
We just
get like this little piece of bread. It's like a ripoff, man.
You must visit the temple.
I'm gonna switch. I think I didn't know you get food.
We serve three meals every day: breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And last year three meals every
free.
Day. Free, absolutely.
That's
free.
That's because when you were sharing the falafel, is that why?
Well, I don't know. I think God is...
Everybody will eat now that I'm...
Well, I think God has been kind, and I hope nobody ever shares a falafel. But yes, as a community service and as our religion offers, all our temples across the world offer free food and three times a day. So last year we fed in about close to 1 million people.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard the opening of my show. I don't know if you, because I didn't know this about you. But I dedicated this show, this episode was dedicated to those leaders who are committed to making a difference in our communities, to those people who believe in giving back, to the people who believe in the triple bottom line. If you're running a socially conscious organization or committed to working for one, this show is dedicated to you.
Fantastic. I think that calls for a salute, and absolutely I believe in that. I'm also a patron on the special needs for families.
Gulshan, she's been on the show. I'm a big fan. They're having a party tomorrow at 4 p.m. at Zabil Park.
Right? Lovely. Yeah, I would love to. Thank you. SNF is a special needs families group, which is in Dubai, and this has physically challenged children. I'm a patron on that board, and we do a lot for physically challenged and special children with special needs.
It's amazing. And so you must be involved with Manzil as well and Dr. Aisha.
Absolutely.
Who's been on the show, and we just sponsored a kid as well.
You did. All right.
For there. Yeah, so it's a lot of commonalities here. But I think for anyone listening out there, you know, you should get involved in the social programs here. Yeah. And I always advise executives, if you're in a job and you're not getting the leadership exposure that you need, you know, you can take that in the community. You can lead a program. You can lead a movement. You can do something that's going to help you develop your leadership skills in the community.
Yeah, that's very important. And I think something that I do in India, back in India, is to bring in the future generation. I sponsor education for a few children in one of the complexes back home. And I believe that is one of the biggest causes that we should absolutely contribute to, because bringing in the future of tomorrow, or bringing in the new generation and giving them the basic education is a minimum requirement that I think any country or the citizens or the children of any country needs.
Well, that is amazing. But I always find that, you know, when you're involved in the community, it gives you that extra sense of purpose. You know, on those days when you just feel like quitting or giving up, you know, isn't it that that's the stuff that kind of gives you that extra drive to push when other people may have thrown in the towel?
Well, yeah, I think it also gives you a peace of mind, and I think it gives you a peaceful sleep that you feel that maybe after winning a big tender or maybe a big achievement in your work, it probably does not give you that much happiness as much as it gives you a smile on a poor child's face, and when you see children who are in need and you help them, the kind of the waves that you get from them, I think that's a victory. I think I call that success.
So how do you go from this guy who is, you know, sharing, you know, eating half a falafel for lunch or for the day? I can't even believe that. I mean, I eat so much, it's obscene compared to half a falafel. But so, you know, how do you go from that guy
who doesn't show on your body? <doesn't>. You're a fit man.
You're more kind than Kelly was, I think. but how do you go from that to, you know, starting your own company? Because a lot of people say, oh, I don't have the money, I don't have the capital. You obviously didn't have the capital. How did you make the jump? Can you talk about that a bit?
Well, I used to be with my local friend who I used to tell all my stories, what used to happen in my company, and I used to play football with him at one of the clubs in Dubai. And he used to listen to my stories, and he was the one who was actually paying for my falafel bills and sandwiches during those days and dropped me home in the night. And I used to tell him that this is a tough time and a tough life that I'm going through. And he once told me that he's got a tourism license in Deira, and if I would like to take over that and start a new business or maybe open up an office, we could do that. And we both of us went to a bank, and we didn't know to which line to stand. I mean, these days banks are highly upgraded with token systems and all, but those days there used to be a security guy standing next to the door, and he wouldn't let you in without you giving them the purpose. And we told him that, hey, listen, we need some loan, and he would look at us and say, you know, oh, get lost, you know, what are you guys talking about? I mean, where did you come from?
And wouldn't even let you in the bank.
Well, yeah, we could
now
get
the bankers
in,
are lined up outside,
you know,
your
we
dorm.
Couldn't meet the right person, or maybe we right. couldn't meet the person who could actually listen to us. And we were either pushed to the teller or maybe to the information desk, and something that we could really not get our hands on. And finally, one of the banks, not to name any, we managed to break in, and managed to not break in as into break into steal.
This is how we finance, so very brazen to mention on the
but we managed to break in an opportunity and met one of the managers who actually listened to us, and he lent us a loan of 70,000 dirhams, and that was
how much?
70,000 dirhams.
Okay, wow. So the last guest started her business with 100,000. You started with
70,000, yeah.
Okay, so what did you buy? What was the, you know, what
well, we bought furniture for the office, and there was
and then it was done.
Yeah. A fax machine.
And two falafels.
Two falafels and a dial-up network those days, you know. Yeah. It used to be a dial-up network connection. We got a PC, and everything was concentrated around the fax machine, because those days faxes used to be more in common use.
They're still big in Saudi, I think.
Yeah.
No, I mean, because they don't answer the phone in Saudi.
Yeah.
So if you send a fax, you actually get through. Like, if you want to get to a big CEO,
yeah.
I swear to God, here's a really good piece of advice for anyone who's trying to get in touch with me. Write, send a fax and send to, you know, Mr. blah, 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 CEO of whatever company. And when it comes through, the office boy will grab it, because no one sends fax anymore. He'll bring it right to the CEO, and the CEO will probably call you. That's one of the tricks I do, I swear.
Well, I think that's...
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. You said it right. And there's sometime later on in my life, we probably will talk about that because that happened. Actually, it is true. When you send a fax and which is addressed to the person that you wanted to reach, it definitely reaches on his table and you get a reply back. You know?
So you got one of my faxes, eh?
I did, yeah. That's why I'm here.
Okay, so 70, you open the office, and then what tours can you get? I mean, you're obviously, I guess, as a broker, you were selling other people's tours at that point.
That time, yes. When we started in 97, yes, we used to be like a broker, like a travel agent, a person with one desk. And I used to be a guide. I used to do driving around. I used to do accounting. I used to do pick up the phones. I was everything. I mean, all in one.
Yeah, you had to clean the floor, you have to do
everything.
Fun times, you know. Hey, man, Chris Fade, that's how he got in the studio when he started his career. He cleaned the studio. He cleaned, you know, things to get in. He's like, at least I got a key to the studio. And then they told him, you're never going to be on radio. And then the guy who said that got fired. And now Chris is the number one radio personality in the Middle East. So.
Sitting on a big cushion and a big fat chair with the really stuffy leather.
One of our audience is now using the fax trick to get to Elon Musk. So whoever you are, please keep us posted if my fax tip works to get you to, you know, maybe next thing you'll be going to Mars. So you be careful what you write on that fax. So I guess in that day, travel agents were, you know...
More like brokers.
Yeah, but it was a good business then. I think it's a tougher business now, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a good business because you did not have a customer who would actually know everything before he wants to buy, you know? I mean, today a customer comes on your desk, he knows exactly what he wants, what itinerary he wants, where he wants to go, what tour he wants, where he wants to have his lunch, dinner. So he knows everything before you could even advise him. And he says, what's the cost? And he even will give you three or four quotations, I mean, from Google, from all over online. And he tell you, you're going to give me better than this, and that's something that we can talk business.
Ouch. So it's getting squeezed.
It is, yeah. It's getting competitive. It's getting bigger but then larger. Yes, it has its own pros and cons, which maybe we can discuss a little later. During those days, it was a small little business with much more smaller operation.
Just before we cut to commercial, how many times were you rejected and thrown out of the bank before you got your loan?
Well, I think we tried a couple of them. If I really barely remember, it was at least about three or four banks.
Oh, so you got only four rejections. That's pretty good. But this is Kohan Singh, the Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director of Carefare Lama Group, one of the leading tour companies here. And he's going to be giving us some more insights on how to get to the top in just a minute. So stay with us.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Our second guest as well, he started a humble beginnings living in a one-room apartment with five guys sharing a bed. Was very tough. He survived on half a falafel a day for a couple months. His first job he had to get here in Dubai, they didn't pay him for 7 months. You know, that is just criminal, really. I think it's horrible. But what a tough beginning he came to. As a result now, he has created, I believe, the biggest Sikh temple in the United Arab Emirates, one of the best temples in the world. And he fed over a million people last year from the temple, three free meals a day. The man is very committed to the social things he does. But more importantly, in addition, he's also the Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director of Carefare Lama Group. His name is Kohan Singh. Kohan, welcome back to Iron Careers.
Thank you very much, Chris.
That's exciting, your story. You know, it's exciting.
Oh, thank you.
This is like an amazing show because we had two people, two self-made, started with nothing. You know, both of you guys started with nothing.
Thank you. I think this is a fantastic show.
That's
I'm really happy that... The Voice reaches out to millions of people out there who probably are right now sharing an apartment, or maybe they're listening to the show and maybe are thinking of the time that I had and are thinking that when is their time going to come, or when are they going to be seeing that bright day and see that sunshine. But it's all going to be there, and I think you got to be committed. You got to be there. You got to have the willpower. You need to be focused, and you need to be dedicated. And I'm sure things are going to be better.
And you need to work every day, right? You know, you don't go from, you know, that where it's like balance. People are like, you need to have balance. You need to, you know, you need to take your time off. Like, you don't go from sharing a room with five guys to becoming, you know, one of the most successful CEOs by having balance, right?
Well, yes, I think.
I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, I'm just guessing.
No, you're right. I think it is important to work. Yeah, maybe I don't know if it's 7 days a week, but it's very important. Today, one can analyze that it's good to work. It's important to work, but it's also important to keep a perfect balance between personal and professional life. It is not that by working 7 days or 24 hours is going to get you right on the top, but I think it's going to get you on the top when you have a perfect balance between your professional life and your personal life.
But your first few years, how much balance was there? You must have been so excited, right? Like, one minute you're driving a car for someone not even getting paid, and the next minute you're your own boss. Like...
Yeah, I think I was doing everything by myself for the first couple of years. Yeah, I almost had no balance.
There you go. You could say it. You could admit it. There's no balance.
Yeah,
there it came no out. The truth is absolutely coming out here. He's spilling the beans, folks.
First couple of years? Yeah, absolutely. You need to be... working on an urgent basis. When I say urgent basis, is you got to be available all the time, and it's got to be. You miss one customer, you lose on your pocket, and you think you lost an opportunity. So yes, of course, you were working very hard, and you skipped your meals, you skipped everything, and you were doing all what needs to be done to make sure your books of accounts are all right, and your customers don't complain, and you give them new products and new services. So it was a combination of a whole company working just through one person.
When was it that, you know, the business kind of matured enough that you could, you know, pull back a bit, that you could move more into kind of the strategic space and you weren't so involved in the tactical daily operations?
Well, I think a couple of years down the line, when I started knowing more friends in Dubai, and especially with the hotel and the travel industry, I started engaging myself, visiting these hotels and asking them for business. And when they were enough number of tourists or visitors each day, we got an additional guide on board, we got a driver on board, we got our first vehicle, we got a 7-seater van, and I still remember it was the Mitsubishi and a small van, and that used to be everything for the company, because it used to pick me up, it used to pick up the tourists, it used to drop me home, and I used to sometimes drive it when the driver would fall sick. So it was everything for the company, and it was a really proud moment for us. We got our first van, we've got our first vehicle in the company.
And now how many vehicles do you have?
We've got about 3,500 vehicles.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So that's a lot of vehicles.
Yeah, we've got all kinds of luxury vehicles and SUVs and
one of those stretched Hummers.
Hummers.
I just made that up, but I didn't know you actually had one. That's amazing.
No, we do have. You definitely know. That's one.
You got to have that, or you're,
business,
you know?
Verticals. You know, so it's important for people who come to Dubai, which is a city of fashion. So that's something which is high in demand.
The stretch Hummer, huh?
Stretch Hummer and the stretch limo. Yeah, it's very much popular.
That's awesome. The best part is, listen, you guys have an individual here who's self-made from nothing. You have a question, SMS us at 4001 or download our mobile app and send a question in. If you have, you know, if you're out there and you feel you're at a dead end, you're sharing a room with 15 people, you're sharing a bed, and, you know, you don't have enough money to eat, you know, you might be on your way to success, because that's how Kulwant Singh started his success story. And he's got 3,500 vehicles. What are your big business philosophies, North Stars, you know, your big learnings? What are some of the kind of key things that you keep in front of you as you run a business or you think are the tenets of a successful business?
Well, I think honesty is right on the top. You got to be honest when you do your business. It's very, very important because that drives everything else. You get, even if you're dedicated and you're out there working 7 days a week, and if you're not honest to yourself and you're not honest to your business, you're never going to make up to the top there. It's something that is really, really important. Beside that, yes, of course, you got to be aggressive. You got to be innovative. You got to be alert. You need to perform in a teamwork. You need to carry the team along with you. So those are some of the traits that one definitely needs to carry along.
Yeah, teamwork.
Yeah.
The funny thing about this teamwork is, you know, when you look at the comp and ben packages, you know, on one hand, we're rewarding and incentivizing individual performance, but then we're crying for teamwork. Do you find, you know, what's the toolkit that a senior manager should be using to kind of drive alignment and get a, you know, group of people? How many staff do you have?
We've got close to 700.
Wow. So that's a lot of people. Yeah. What are some of the toolkit that a senior manager can use to drive a group towards a common goal?
Well, we've got various different departments, and each department is headed by a manager or a senior person. And we have certain schemes at different verticals. So we've got a lot of verticals in the company. So each vertical has its own incentive schemes, and it has its own tools and measurements that they need to that they look into and are used to evaluate performances of the employees. And in our kind of business, I don't know, maybe we're in also the car rental business. So the question may be here that once a person hires a car and he doesn't really bother about the service because he doesn't own the car because he rents it. And whether is that something that I would like to relate to our business and to our employees in my organization? Yeah, I mean, it's very much they're working for an organization, and whether they are fully dedicated or whether they are with the incentives, they are happy performing their job or duties is a question, because if they consider this as a rent a car and it does not belong to them, they're working for a company, and is something that they should give 100%, or should they just continue working, get an incentive and get a salary and go home because end of the day they don't own the car or they don't own the company. It's a continuous challenge that we have, and is something that we constantly discuss with our various managers and the heads of the departments on how to engage the staff, how to not only incentivize them but also win their confidence and win them with loyalty and give them the extra support, saying that yes, we take care of them, we take care of their families, and we would like to involve them in the business and take the decisions, consider whatever they're saying, and get them engaged from time to time. Is something that we do all the time.
It's always challenging to create that sense of ownership within people. Do you think that we have the right incentive programs? When you look in the market, you have things like Wikipedia where professionals are working for free. You have Linux where professionals work for free to create. Does not some of these examples start to really poke holes at the paradigm of business thought that we're currently using? Are these theories, processes, policies, are they flawed?
Well, I think it's a continuous challenge for every businessman, and that is something that we have to handle, and we need to face it day by day. And it's a continuous thing that where we really need to engage our people, and the kind of incentive policies that we use or the policies that are available out there in the market. The employees always have that, no, this is not enough, or this is not good. this is something which the company is not doing great for the employees. Yeah, that's a challenge that we always have. But I think when with all these kinds of various incentive schemes out there in the market, and people who either mislead or get misled by a group of their friends or online or various things that are available for them to go through, is a continuous challenge that most of our businesses have.
Well, coming up, Colwant will be talking about what he looks for when he's hiring and what are some of the things he personally does to drive his success.
Dubai i 103.8, award-winning news, business, sport, and lifestyle coverage. Stay one step ahead.
It's really inspiring. I mean, everyone's writing and saying it's very inspiring. I can't read and talk at the same time, but there's lots of stuff coming up here that people are going on. But what do you do? Are there any personal things you do to kind of drive your success? Like Kelly said, she gets up super early. She listens to inspirational podcasts. She likes the Entrepreneur on Fire show. Then she works out. And then, you know, then she starts styling the city. But, you know, what are some of the things you do?
Well, that's a lot of time, I think, she has in the morning, and which is great. And I wish I could do that. I mean, that's fantastic. But when you wind up late in business dinners and social evenings, so it's always late for me. And for me to get up that early probably is not possible. But I get up at about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. And first thing I do is I get the newspaper, so at least I get a glimpse of what's happening in the city, what's happening around the business. And I spend about 15 minutes on the business pages to see what's going on in the business world. And then I scroll around and see, I love movies, so I see what's latest in the tabloid or in the City Times to see what's going on in the city with the latest movies that I need to see.
You're giving us a healthy dose of candor here as you describe your morning. David, okay.
So, that gets me ready, and I need to be quickly into the office because there is a line of appointments and meetings set for the day, and I need to plan my day. So, that's all I
time management. Yeah. Time management is the key. One of the main things. What do you look for when you're hiring your top people? What are some of the traits you think make a successful executive?
I think very important is that they need to be very focused. They need to be confident when they talk, and they need to believe in themselves. What they're saying does make sense, and it is basically not that they give something on a CV and that comes in front of us, and we need to believe in what's on the CV. But it's more important that they should try to read what's in our mind and what is the position that they're applying for and what is required for the organization. If they're able to bridge this gap and get somewhere closer to what we're expecting, I think they get a go.
Well, it's simple. You're looking for a mind reader. That should not be difficult. No, but I understand what you're saying, that they should. No, but that people don't come well-researched. You know, they show up and, you know, you got to do more than show up. You should know the company, the financials, the strategy. I mean, your story, it's got to be one of the, you know, if they don't know your story, you should just throw them out, I think.
Yeah, I mean, even if not the financials, but I think the area of expertise or the area or the department or wherever they would like to focus on and work on, they should have knowledge, and they should be talking about certain ideas and how they could turn around things, especially the higher management or people at the higher level. They should make sense, and they should give us examples of how things has been turned around in the past and how they could do better for the organization.
I saw Kelly said an interesting quote when she was on the founder of Style Me Divine. She said, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." It's a powerful statement. And what we're talking about is, you know, is it important to control your psychological environment? Should you be picking, do you make an effort to hang out with other successful entrepreneurs? Because that, I said, Issa Njuwad, who's a friend of mine, said, you know, an idea is like a virus. It can't exist on its own. It needs a certain environment. And so you need to create that environment as a business person to make sure you have the right, you know, you're creating the right ideas in your head. Do you subscribe to that?
at all?
Well, yeah, I think that's a very powerful statement, and I definitely endorse it. And it's something that when you meet people who are successful and people who've done so well, and you interact with them, and you talk about various new topics and elements, or maybe existing examples in the market, it definitely does help your business.
We have a listener here saying, you know, he runs a very successful business. He has three companies, has no liabilities right now, and he's feeling, you know, to grow to the next level, to really expand, he finds it hard to do without getting external funding. So do you think he should use debt to drive his growth, or should he sell equity, or should he do something else? How should he get the money, the growth capital he needs?
It's very important that if your business is very lucrative and if it is in demand and something that can really expand, there are two ways of doing it, which you rightly said. Is one is to pick up a loan and debt, and the other one would be to sell certain equity. Well, whichever is easier for him to do it right now, I think that's the way he should select. I think if he's not able to find an equity partner and he would like to create a larger business, he should go for a bank loan or and finance, which actually not only enrich his balance sheet but also his business, and probably he can get a much better equity down the line once the business books or his business shows is much more healthier.
So don't sell your equity early. Don't sell it cheap. Sell it later when you can get that payoff for your sweat.
Definitely. I think I truly believe in that, because and we have gone through this exercise many, many times, and
there's that smile again.
We're very happy with what has happened with us, but I think I also know in
the 365 million derm smile.
No. my jaws are going to fall down. So, but no, I think it's important, because when you put in your sweat and when you are building something, it is not only a day-to-day business that you are building to survive. No, that's wrong. If people out there are thinking that they're going to do, or they're going to an office, or they have a small business and that earns them X amount a month or a year, and they're very happy with it, no, it's wrong. That is not the business that you are just looking for an income on a monthly or a yearly basis. It is an investment that you're doing. It is an investment into a fund which is getting bigger and bigger, which is getting greater goodwill, which is going to have greater value, which is going to have a greater equity. So it is not only the money that you're pulling out, but it is also the time that you're pumping in. It's the ideas that you're pumping into the business. It is the brand that is getting bigger and bigger. So if you can wait, and if you see a right time, right opportunity, where somebody can get associated with you or would want to come as in partners and take an equity share, please wait for the right time. Grow it well. It's exactly like growing a watermelon. I mean, you can pluck it out when it's small. You could let it go to a much more bigger size. You could let it ripe well, and you could have it juicy. You could have it, raw. So it all depends on how much time, how much effort, how much patience you could have in order to grow a particular business to a size that could actually give you a lot of returns in back in shares of equity or partnership.
Sure. So my friend Sam Dupe here, who's actually living in a labor camp, is just writing in and saying thank you for inspiring him. He also is going through a challenging time. So, I mean, I can even connect you with him if you wanted to meet that guy who's going through the same thing you went through, you know, a long time ago. And, Dubai is an amazing place. You know, it's a place where so many people achieve their dreams. You know,
it's a city of dreams. Yeah, you're true. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
And
I
think His Highness makes the dreams come into reality, and that's his vision, and that's something which we all follow. Whatever you dream, he converts them into reality. Is something where people can only dream, but in Dubai is a destination, is a place, is a platform that converts your dreams into reality.
You can't help but be inspired. You know, on my worst day, you'll be driving and you'll be like, "Oh, this happened or that happened." In reality, they're silly things. anyway. And but then they get you down for whatever reason. And you look and you see this huge Burj Khalifa tower, the tallest tower in the world. And you know, most of us were here when that was a sandlot. And this guy built this huge thing from nothing.
Absolutely.
And you're like, if he can build that, you know, I can get through the quarter. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think even if you can get somewhere closer to one of those executive buildings, that would be fantastic.
Right, right. It's amazing, you know, what he's done. And now you can't even walk through Dubai Mall. You know, there's a lineup to go up the escalator in this mall. It's the biggest mall in the world, and you can't find a place where you can actually walk in a straight line. That's how packed it is.
Well, that's, I think, good for business because that's the footfall, and I think that's the prime focus of the country, to have footfall into the country, and which helps all the businesses, which helps the economy, which helps the shops, which helps the supermarkets, and which helps the restaurants.
Guy's amazing. He's amazing. What is your final piece of advice to anyone out there, to the stand-ups of the world, to anybody who wants to rise up like you have?
I think failure teaches you a lot, and it's failure gives you a lot of advices that comes in for free, and you must build on it. You whenever you meet a failure in your business, you need to work on it again, and you need to try again, because if you know how to control your failure, you will definitely reach the success.
Well, thank you so much. I wish we had more time. I could, you know, spend all day talking to you. But thanks so much for coming out and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you very much. Indeed, a pleasure. Thank you.
That was Kulwant Singh. He is the Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director of Carrefour Lama Group. If you missed his story, a man who started in a room, sharing a room with five guys, living on half a falafel a day, become one of the top CEOs in the region. Go to our website, dubaii1038.com/ioncareers, and listen to those podcasts. And we have tons and tons and tons of successful stories on there. So please listen. But I'm your host, Shane Phillips, saying that's it for this episode. And I hope the rest of your life is the best of your life.